Hey everybody, it's Sam Bennett. Thank you so much for joining me for the True Freedom Symposium, the when, what, why, and how to quit your day job, and what's really on the other side. This interview is with Clate Mask, the CEO and co-founder of Infusionsoft, which makes small business sales and marketing automation software. Clate is also the author of Conquer the Chaos, which is a New York Times bestselling book. It also made the bestsellers list in USA Today, Wall Street Journal, you know, like you do. Clate has also written about entrepreneurship for VentureBeat, Entrepreneur, Fast Company. He attended Arizona State University, where he got a BA in economics, and then he got a law degree from Brigham Young. He and his wife, Charisse, have six children. They live in Arizona. You know, it was one thing for Infusionsoft to sponsor this event and throw us some money to run some Facebook ads, but it was another thing entirely for Clate to give us his time and attention, but totally typical of his generosity. Enjoy. Hi, everybody. It's Sam Bennett from the Organized Artist Company here with my favorite CEO of all time, Clate Mask. Hi, Clate.
Hey, great to be with you, Sam. I didn't know I held that distinction for you.
You are far and away on my list, you know. It's like you, Howard Schultz, yeah. You know, Kip Tindell, but really, you're number one.
Well, thanks. I'm glad to be here.
Yeah, and we're really good. Infusionsoft is actually sponsoring this thing too. So thank you also for the company's support in this.
You bet.
I have a bunch of questions to ask you because really, I say all the time that you personally and Infusionsoft as a business taught me business. I started my business knowing nothing about anything. Didn't know anything about marketing, didn't know anything about email, didn't know anything about sales, I was an actor, who knew?
Right.
But just the way Infusionsoft is set up, you know, like, oh, have an opt-in form on your website. Oh, and then automated follow-up. Oh, follow up with people automatically. That seems so great. You know, like once they sign up, have a thank you page. Right, a thank you page, because you can't make people feel too good about the decision to do business with you. Like all this stuff that seems like sort of common sense, but until you know how to do it, you don't do it.
That's right.
So, but one of the things I learned from you, you were just talking about at SuccessCon when we were together in San Diego, which is about grit.
Mm-hmm.
Would you talk a little bit about the role of grit?
Yes. One of my favorite things to talk about, because I think that it's an essential ingredient for entrepreneurial success. If you don't, you know, to me, grit is kind of a combination of courage, of will to win, of, you know, tenacity, and in the face, and all of that in the face of great difficulty. You know, if you look up grit, that's what it talks about. It talks about this courage in the face of great difficulty, this will to push through things. And I mean, Sam, you know, that's what entrepreneurs deal with every day. The reality is most people who go to work every day, they think they have challenges with a boss. They think they have challenges with a coworker. They think they have challenges with a project and a deadline. And those are challenges. They are not existential challenges. they are not the challenges that literally are life or death as a business person, as a business. You know, you can say, well, my boss could fire me. Yes. But what I will say is when you are an entrepreneur, the forces are so much against you. There's such great difficulty in pushing through all of that you have to have this will, you have to have this courage, you have to have this resolve to get through the hard things, even when you don't know exactly how you're going to do it or what it's going to look like on the other side when you do it. And so there's just this special characteristic that you develop as an entrepreneur. And it's that you're willing to kind of push through the adversity, go through all those hard challenges. And sometimes it's really hard to understand exactly, why am I doing this? Why am I putting myself through this difficulty? And then, of course, you get to the other side and you feel the exhilaration of serving a customer well, of landing a client or a new customer that's so critical, of busting through an obstacle or a problem that's just really been, you know, holding you back for a long time, or some kind of personal growth and development that you realize, wow, you know, I can do this. And so there is a silver lining to this thing that you're going through, But sometimes you don't really understand exactly what it is when you're going through it. And I think that's actually what develops this incredible toughness that entrepreneurs need to develop. And, you know, so I call it grit. And I, of course, when we were at SuccessCon, I talk about it coupled with optimism, because, you know, there's the grit that you go through that's like, you know, this suffering where you're dragging your knuckles along the ground and woe is me. And, you know, I'm trying to get through this. And that's not, you know, that just prolongs the issue. It prolongs the problem. On the other hand, the optimism that we will get through this, I will figure this out, I will get to the other side, even though I don't even know exactly what the other side looks like sometimes. Although if you do, it makes it easier to get pull yourself through. But that optimism combined with the grit, to me, is what really makes entrepreneurs successful.
Yeah. And I love the word because I think of the other meaning of grit, right, which is actual dirt.
Yeah.
And I think that's the other quality of entrepreneurship, is like, you get in there and you get your hands dirty. Like,
yes,
it is up to you. You are 100% responsible for everything that happens, even for things you don't cause, even for things that, you know, are forces outside of your control. You're still 100% responsible. And that ability to just get in there and get dirty with it is, again, a lot of what it takes.
I love that. Sam, I love that you called out that 100% responsibility. I think that's probably, you know, you and I've talked about a little bit about this and what you're doing, and, you know, calling people to the reality of what entrepreneurship is. And if they want to do that, making that decision, but really being able to make that decision with all the facts and all the view. And I guess you can never get everything, because you're going to go into it a little bit blind at times. But I think what you just called out, that willingness to be 100% responsible, to me, that is a characteristic of entrepreneurs that I love. And it's one of the reasons why we as a company we're out to empower entrepreneurs, because we know that it does all rest on their shoulders. And even the things that shouldn't rest on their shoulders rest on their shoulders. And as an employee, you can much more easily sort of point to, well, marketing didn't do this, or sales didn't do this, or Joe didn't do this, or Sally didn't do this, or whatever it is. But as a business owner, it doesn't matter. The buck stops with you. It does not matter if the shipment was late, it doesn't matter. The client wants to know, did you get the job done? And I'm paying you to get the job done. And that 100% responsible mentality is something we love and revere in entrepreneurs.
Yeah, definitely. Now, you're very unusual in the CEO world, because you've actually shepherded this business from when it really was three of you in a broom closet.
Yes.
I mean, I've seen the pictures. Okay. Like, you know, this huge, huge company.
Yes.
And it's pretty uncommon for one of the founders or co-founders to be in charge that whole time. I mean, I think usually businesses get to a certain point of growth and everybody goes, okay, good job getting it from a seedling to a sprout. Now we're gonna
grow up to do this. Yes,
we're gonna grow up. Yeah. So tell the nice people, Clayton, how did you get from where you were to where you are?
You see these gray hairs? They're well earned. No, first of all, you're exactly right. Especially in technology companies, it's generally the case. Now, people will say, but wait, what about Bill Gates and what about Steve Jobs? Well, they're the rare exceptions.
Right.
Most entrepreneurs that start a software company don't make it past, you know, maybe 10 million in sales, 25 million in sales is rare. You know, the bigger you get, the more rare it is to find a co-founder or a founder or co-founder that is leading the company. So, you know, I recognize that's the reality, and I love it. You know, frankly, it's something that I really appreciate. But let me tell you, it's very, it comes with a lot of blood, sweat, and tears. And I think the thing that, you know, I've talked about this with one of our investors. You know, we built the business, bootstrapped it, got it to about 7 million in annual sales. And then we had a really big vision of what we wanted to accomplish in the world, and that required capital. So we went and we shared that big vision with some investors, and we brought investors on board. And that's a whole separate story. But as I've worked with our investors over the years, one in particular I've become very close to, and she was our first investor. And we've talked a lot about this challenge of growing as the founder and CEO, and how not normal it is to make it through this. And so we've talked about why, and she's pointed out to me, she said, you know, you have you have a drive to learn and to just keep getting better that is very uncommon. And so, you know, I would just say, if I had to summarize, why am I the CEO of a company I co-founded? And why do I intend to be the CEO years down the road? It's because I love to grow and learn and get better. And, you know, that was true when I went to 8 years of college and got an economics degree and a law degree and an MBA. And some people might say, oh, well, that's why you're able to do it, because you got all that education. I say, no. I got all that education, which is why I'm, you know, because I want to do this stuff. That's just what drives me. I got education because I'm driven to learn. And I didn't get education for 8 years and then stop. I read 6 books a quarter. I go to all kinds of workshops and seminars. I do coaching to keep me self-aware and make me more self-aware constantly. I listen to my wife very closely.
Let's just put a frame around that.
No, because the people who are close to us, if we let them, they will tell us what we need to do better. And our natural tendency is to put our hand up, you know, because a lot of times they don't tell us with the nicest package or the most kind, you know, it's like, but if we listen, the things people are telling us in our home and circles, if we will do those things, it will make us better as leaders, as entrepreneurs, as CEOs. So, you know, I'm certainly not perfect, but I will tell you, I have an insatiable appetite to learn and to get better. I always want to improve. That's just part of who I am. I'm just always learning, always improving. And I think that's the key. I think once I don't want to learn as much, once I don't want to improve as much, then I shouldn't be in the seat.
And I think it's one of the things I love about entrepreneurship and about this community of entrepreneurs, certainly in the Infusionsoft community, is that desire to learn. Like, it's endlessly fascinating to me, yeah, all this stuff. And the more there is to learn, the more interested and excited I get. So I think that's a lot of it. I think the other thing too, that's part of your magic, is because you have a business that serves small business owners and solopreneurs and mompreneurs and speakers and authors and teachers, yeah, but you were there. I mean, yes, you came home to Clarice and said, honey, I'm not sure there's going to be a Christmas this year.
Yes. And I think that's true. I think our passion for this business comes from being the customer. And today we're not the customer that we serve. You know, our software is built to help small businesses grow. And so we're not the customer that we serve as we speak today, but for many years we were. And so it's my job to always keep alive inside the company what it is to be a small business, a solopreneur, a 5-person company, a 10-person company. You know, and there's big differences between a solopreneur and a 10-person company. So, you know, to say those are all the same, that's not the case either. We're very clear about kind of the stages of business, of small business growth that you go through. But we have great empathy because we were there. And we, you know, I talk all the time about our purpose to help small businesses succeed. And that passion we have for the purpose comes from being there and knowing it and knowing what the dark side of entrepreneurship really looks like.
Yeah. Yeah. Not Clarice, Charisse.
Charisse, you got
that's
it.
That's right. Like, yep. I was like, that's not right. Yeah, exactly. One of the other things that I learned from you super early on, and this is again way back in the days before you had the big building, before, you know, so we're talking like 2009, 2010, something like, yeah, that, which, you know, in the internet online years is like 1932. Like, so back in the covered wagon days, yeah, you were very transparent about your transparency.
Yeah.
Like, I remember you had the numbers, the quarterly numbers up on the window of your cubicle.
Yep.
And just really sharing a lot of information with your team, and which was growing at that point, yeah, in a way that I think probably made some other business owners and early investors go, Clayt?
Why are you showing this?
Why are you showing this?
Yeah. Yeah. It's very uncommon for business owners. It's most business owners kind of want to hold all of that inside, especially as the company gets bigger. But, you know, I just think the transparency and the openness is what allows people to see the real thing. You know, the more employees you have in the company, the more natural it is for them to feel disconnected from the business and disconnected from the results of the business. You know, the ironic thing is they're more connected to the customer, but they're less connected to the financial results of the business. The leaders are more connected to the financial results of the business and they're less connected to the customer. But if you make the results open, those two things come together more effectively. So one of the reasons why we like to be open is to give our employees a connection to the financial results. But another reason we like to do it is for the employees to pull the leaders more connected to the customers. So the philosophy of being open is about serving our customers and our employees more effectively.
Yeah. And I think what I've had to learn about being in charge is if you can manage to be 100% in control of all the information all the time, then you can do that. Mm-hmm. But if you can't, and most of us can't, then better to be 100% transparent, let everybody know everything, let them make their own decisions, but you also open yourself up to their own genius. Mm-hmm. You know, when I can turn to my team and I go, I've got this problem and I don't know how to solve it.
Right. Or
we've got this tax bill that's a lot bigger than I expected it to be.
Right.
Let's get creative on how we can bring in $37,000 in the next 3 weeks.
Yeah. And the more employees you get, the more they have a story that's very different than the reality. And so you can't unlock their creative genius because it gets sort of trapped behind their view of, oh, well, you know, Clayton's making all this money, or this is what's happening. Oh, well, the investors are getting this, or we're, you know, they start to tell themselves stories that just aren't true. And so, you know, I've just found that the best way to get rid of the craziness of stories that people make up is to just share the truth, just get it out and open for people. And it has a magical way of just calming down all of the speculation. So, you know, I've actually over the last quarter or so been doing much more of that because I hear all these rampant stories and I'm like, oh my gosh, let me just talk about the truth. And then it sort of calms it down for people.
Grit, education, transparency. No, this is radical stuff, Clay. This is radical. This is not, I think, the qualities that most people associate with big business. So, the other thing I've learned from you is about hiring and firing exclusively to core values.
Yeah.
And I heard you say that years ago, and I didn't have anybody to hire. It was only me, yeah. but I really took it to heart, and it has been such valuable information to me that, you know, you can teach people skills.
Yeah.
But you can't teach them to be kind.
Right.
You can't teach them to be responsible. You can't teach them to go above and beyond. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
That's right. And what happens a lot of times, Sam, is that when businesses start to have some success and they get to, you know, hundreds of thousands of dollars in sales in a year or approaching, you know, when they start to approach kind of that $1 million mark, which by the way, only 3% of businesses that get started ever get to a million. So wow. It's quite an elite accomplishment to get to that level. And we talk all the time, we teach elite entrepreneurs what you do once you get to that point, because usually it is your grit and your sales and marketing acumen and your, you know, you start to build some skill in serving your customers effectively that'll get you to that million mark. But what gets you beyond that really is about leading people. And so many entrepreneurs, they plateau because they can't get through, you know, why don't they get to a million? Because more than 4 or 5 employees is just too difficult to manage and deal with. And if you don't learn how to do that, most of the time, you're not going to get to a million on 4 or 5 employees. It's a very, very rare thing. It usually a business is going to be about 8, 10, 12 employees by the time they get to a million in sales. So now you have to start to, but a million in annual sales. So if you're going to get to 8, 10, 12 people, you've got to start to lead people in a different way than everybody just kind of being around you and sort of gathering by osmosis what they need to do. You know, they have to actually be led. And so what happens is you start to hire people and the hiring goes sideways and the people you're bringing on board are not quite right. And suddenly you kind of lose your passion and your will. The entrepreneur says, you know, I'm just going to go back to doing this by myself. It was a lot easier. Life was nicer. I had put more in my bank account when I was doing it by myself. You know, all those things. I've only heard it a million times from people. But what the real key is, as you said, it's that you've got to be really clear as the entrepreneur what you stand for in your values. And you've got to create that or co-create it if you have a couple people that are sort of your key people that you wish you could clone, you know, those kinds of people. And you say, okay, what do we stand for? And you articulate a set of values. No fewer than five, no more than 10. And that set of values is who you are and who you stand, what you stand for. And then you hire people that fit that. Now they got to be able to do the job, of course, but they've got to have those values. And far too often small businesses are hiring for people who can do the job first and have the values second. And it's the other way around. It's like a non-starter. If they don't have the values, then who cares if they can do the skill, if they can do the job, because they're just going to bring the skill and they're going to run roughshod over your company without you realizing. It's a very subtle, insipid process when you bring somebody in that doesn't really fit the values. So you gave the punchline from the beginning. If you want to grow, especially if you want to grow a business beyond a million, you've got to hire, coach, and fire to your purpose, values, and mission.
And getting clear on those, and it seems, I mean, I don't know, I've been to other businesses and they've got their core values on the wall. And it's like, oh, we believe in excellence and teamwork and, yeah, you know, yeah, a lot of words that seem kind of meaning, you know, it's like, does this really mean anything to anybody? Right. Infusionsoft has always been so clear about their core values and articulated them in such real, human, actionable language that it inspired me to do the same thing. And it's such a go-to for me. Like anytime I've got something I don't know what to do about, you know, somebody can't pay me or somebody's, you know, misbehaving or something's happening that I don't know what to do about, I go, okay, well, the values of the organized artist company are creativity, authenticity, kindness, good humor, and fun, and the perfect word. So what is the kind, literate, authentic way to solve this problem? And it gives me a I want to say lighthouse, but that's to keep you away from rocks. But I guess it is a lighthouse. It gives me a way to steer.
Yeah, that's right. That's exactly right. And that's how, you know, when we talk about hiring, coaching, and firing to the purpose, values, mission, that's what we mean. When, you know, and people sometimes will say, well, what do you mean you have to coach to it? Well, it's just not realistic that you're going to, that all of us are going to be a perfect fit with the values in your company at any time. I mean, I will tell you, you know, of our values, I'm not a perfect fit on every day. I love our values. I strive to live them every day. And there are times where I need to be coached to live the value of a certain value a little more effectively. And that's true of every one of our employees. And the leader has got to be coaching to the purpose, values, and mission. So the purpose is critical to know why we're doing what we're doing. The mission is to say, hey, here's what we're up to. Here's the, you know, the hill we're trying to take in the next 2 years, 3 years, whatever time frame you set. And the values are how you go about doing the work. And we've got to hire, coach, and fire to that constantly. And I do mean fire to it. If you've got someone that is just askew on the values and you can't coach them in, get them the heck out of the business and it will do wonders for the business.
And I'll go you one better. I fire clients to core values.
Yes.
Because I find my best clients share my core values. And when you have a client who doesn't share your core values, it's like being in a relationship with somebody who doesn't get you.
That's right.
You know, like you give them a gift and they don't really care about it. And then you get mad. Right. And they think they ask you for something and you think you've done it and they're still not happy. And you know, you just do this and nothing is more expensive than a bad client.
That's right. If you want partners that are aligned to your purpose, values, and mission, you know, investors that are aligned to your purpose, values, and mission, you know, if you're a I've talked to people who are thinking about franchising. I mean, you want your franchisees to be aligned to your purpose, values, and mission. I mean, it goes all through business, and it's so amazing to me that we can say, oh yeah, people are the greatest asset, and we all know that people are where, you know, that's how it gets done or doesn't get done, and yet we can look to hire somebody, and it's all about the skill set, and not about their purpose, values, and mission. And you know, we try to teach our people, it's not that you're bad if you don't fit our purpose, values, and mission. You know, like we've got seven values, and it's also not that you're a lemming if you happen to have those seven values. what the way I describe it is, look, I've got 62 values and Sam, you've got 74 values and Emily, my assistant, she's got 84 values, but Emily and I share seven. Yeah. There are seven values we share, and the 500 employees at Infusionsoft, we share these seven values. And it doesn't make you a lemming. It doesn't make us, you know, a bunch of, this homogenous team that's all boring and vanilla. No, it's, we have all kinds of personality and all kinds of differences. And those seven things we share.
And what it does mean is it means that when you've got 500 people all living those seven values every day to the best that they can, I mean, like you say, not perfectly every time, but as much as they can, then your business itself becomes a force for good in the world.
Yes.
Your business itself is actually making the world a better place.
Yes.
Which brings me to the thing that I really wanted to hear most from you, because I just swoon when you talk about this. Would you talk about how entrepreneurship is going to save the world?
Well, thanks for, you know, I always like to talk about this. And I, it's probably good for me to explain a little bit why I have so much passion around this. So, you know, I grew up with amazing parents. One was a teacher. My dad's a teacher. My mom was a stay-at-home mom for many years. And then as we all started getting older, she began doing interior design and she became an entrepreneur, started her own business doing interior design. And so I got, you know, I kind of got this entrepreneur, I got a little bit of an entrepreneurial feel late in my growing up years. She started when I was about 17, by the time I graduated from high school. And then I saw how amazing it was to be led by a dad who's a teacher and you're just always teaching. And yet with six kids in our family, a teacher and a stay-at-home mom, you know, we didn't have a lot of money growing up. And so we were always paying for our own things, doing our own stuff as kids. That's the way it was. And then later I saw mom go to work and start a business and she got really successful. And I saw how much lighter things were at home. I saw how much more fun things were. And while money isn't the, you know, money isn't the way to happiness, it sure buys some fun. And as one of my good friends, Joe Polish, says, money is just fun tickets, you know, things you can do to cash in some fun. And it's true. And it makes things a little lighter and it takes away some stress and you can do a lot of great things. And, you know, so I had that experience. And then I also, as I grew up, I saw a lot of friends whose parents owned successful businesses. And I saw how powerful that could be. I saw them employ people. I saw them taking fun trips as families. I saw them doing things, you know, I saw them being able to do stuff that we couldn't do and that I sometimes got frustrated with. And so in some ways, I'm a little bit ashamed to say, I kind of had a chip on my shoulder growing up that I wanted to be able to have some fun tickets, you know, and I got kind of frustrated when I didn't. And I overlooked how powerful the teacher was in my home and how amazing the love was that my parents provided. As I got older, I developed appreciation for that. And I still had this drive to be successful in business. And I saw what can happen when businesses are successful. Now, I also, because I live in Arizona, that's a very real estate and construction dominated economy that has a lot of ups and downs. I saw the very, very hard side of small business failure. I saw it break up families. I saw suicides over it. I saw the true dark side of small business. And we don't talk much about that. That's a very sort of hush-hush thing that doesn't get dealt with. I saw people ruined and crushed, and not just ruined financially. And that was a very scary thing for me, as I had this drive to be an entrepreneur, but I had this, you know, the promise and the shiny results that can come and the fun tickets and all of that. But I also saw the reality of what happens when businesses close. And I began to feel pain, literal pain, when I would see a small business go out of business. And I would see more visibly the retail shops, because we all see those. We see the restaurants that fail. We see the retail shops. But, you know, I knew I was more acquainted with families and friends in construction and in real estate that lost everything in the busts that tend to happen when an economy is too dependent in one area, like many times it is the case in Arizona with real estate and construction. I digress. The point is this: I have a background and an understanding of the success of business and what it can do, and the failure of business and what it can do. So when I talk about entrepreneurship, I talk about it from an understanding, a deep understanding of both sides, and then add to it what I experienced as we were trying to get Infusionsoft going. And the first 3 years that were so brutally difficult that I really, truly wouldn't wish them on anybody. You know, it was like my worst enemy. I'd say, I don't have enemies, but if I did have an enemy, I'd say, I wouldn't want people to go through that. It's just so hard. And so when you take that reality of what we've been through, and we felt the verge of bankruptcy, the verge of divorce, the verge of death. I mean, we felt the verge of a lot of things. It was very, very difficult. And so I just have a lot of passion for what goes into small business and the success and the failure. And as much as I love small business success, I hate small business failure. Okay, so with that background and that passion, what I would say is, business ownership, entrepreneurship has the ability, it offers the opportunity to bring people out of their challenges financially, to allow them to create whatever it is that they want to create. And furthermore, it's not just about them. They can create something amazing for their family, for their friends, their employees, their community. And when you get right down to it, entrepreneurship, it is the strength of communities, of entire economies. And it's not the big businesses. It is the ecosystem of all of these small businesses that make it work for communities, that make it work even for big businesses, I would dare say. And so when you have small businesses that are successful, you have successful families, you have successful communities, you have successful economies and nations. And to me, the lure and the promise of entrepreneurial success is what it means, not just for the individual, but for everybody that's around them. Because here's the thing, when entrepreneurs are successful, they are givers. They by nature, they are givers. And so they are successful and they want to give. They want to create jobs. They want to help others experience the joys of what they've accomplished. And so when you help an entrepreneur be successful, you are benefiting everybody around them in that circle. And to me, that is what is missing in the middle class right now. You've got a middle class that's too dependent on big business and too dependent on government. But the strength of a good economy has good government, good big business, and good small business. There's a lot of force going for government. There's a lot of force going for big business, but there's not enough force going for small business. And yet when you get that leg of the stool right, it makes everything work better. So to me, entrepreneurship is, it's a noble pursuit. It's something that makes families, communities, economies stronger. And that's why I love doing what we do at Infusionsoft. That's why our purpose is to help small businesses succeed, because the ripple effects of small business success are incalculable.
I love that so much. I read somewhere not too long ago that the average American family could not withstand a $400 hit.
Yeah.
Like a $400 emergency.
Right.
And I'm like, that's not even new tires.
Right.
Like, that's not even a broken arm. That's, you know, that they don't have the savings, they don't have the credit available, they don't have the resources.
Right.
Like, that is a very precarious place for a family to be.
Right.
But when people have the ability to earn their own money, to create something, to learn how to sell, to learn how to be of service to people, to learn how to manage their own money and resources so that their businesses grow. And then all of a sudden, $400 is not that big of a deal. Right. Even $4,000, $40,000, like, because
right.
You know, you can dial the knobs in whatever way you want to dial the knobs to make whatever money you need to make in whatever time frame you need to make it in.
Yep.
One of the members of our community put up something on Facebook ages ago that I really loved, where he goes, I am my own economy. I am my own president. I am my own government.
Right.
Oh.
Yeah. And that's the thing. We're all wired to create. Everybody is wired to create. We come to this life born to create. Through educational process, through growing up years, a lot of times that drive and that innate ability to create gets stamped out of us. But entrepreneurs know, I can create. and then I can create for others. Entrepreneurs create jobs. Government doesn't create jobs. Entrepreneurs create jobs. And entrepreneurs create solutions to problems. Entrepreneurs, people will look at it sometimes and say, you know, there's a side of entrepreneurship that is about, I know how to make money. And there's sort of this, sometimes people look at this as sort of like this used car salesman aspect of, I can get money. Like, I know how to grub for money. No, it's, I know how to solve a problem that is worth it to somebody such that they will pay me money. And that problem solving should be revered, respected, propped up, pushed in every way. Because the problems that get solved, you're not going to have a big business solve a problem that's a little nuanced, funny little problem that isn't a huge, huge opportunity. But a small business owner is going to go solve that problem. Yeah. So you start to look at the problems that would go unsolved if we don't allow entrepreneurship to exist. And by the way, what does it look like? You go look in third world countries. That's what it looks like. Big companies are going to solve telecommunications. They're going to go solve the big problems, but they're not going to solve the little problems of how do you get the things that you need? How do you solve the things that you need on a daily basis? Those things don't get solved because those are small business owners that solve the problems. And to me, that economy of one says, I know how to solve a problem that someone values and will pay me for. And they're better for it, and I'm better for it. See, I'm an economist. I am an economics major at Arizona State. To me, the economy of one person giving up dollars because what they're getting is more valuable than the dollars they're giving up, and the person giving something and taking back the dollars because it's actually more valuable for them, both got enriched in the process. That's an economy. It's amazing. And that's what small businesses do over and over and over and over, and they should be rewarded for it.
Clay, thank you so much for taking the time to be here with everyone. You've been such a great teacher and inspiration to me, and I love you. I love Infusionsoft. I'm just really grateful.
Oh, thanks, Sam. This has been tons of fun. Sorry if I waxed a bit philosophical. I couldn't.
No, I like it.
But I do love entrepreneurship. I love helping small businesses succeed. I'm so excited about what you're doing. I love the fact that as Infusionsoft moves forward, we're creating ways that we can serve more and more small businesses. You don't have to be a marketing ninja anymore like you once had to be in order to be successful with Infusionsoft. Because we want, you know, our mission is, you know, we talked all about purpose and mission. Our mission is to simplify growth for 5 million small businesses worldwide. That is the mission we're on. And, you know, our old mission was much more about helping the real marketing savvy. And of course, we're going to continue to help the marketing savvy. But we've simplified our software in some ways to make it accessible for the regular small business that just wants to serve their customers better and follow up with them better, deliver personalized service so that they can grow their business more effectively in an organized way. And that's what we do at Infusionsoft. So thank you for letting me be part of this. Thanks for allowing us to sponsor it. And thanks for being such a longtime friend and customer.
My pleasure, Clay. Thanks. If you've enjoyed this, but your time is limited and you'd like access to the rest of them, please hop over to therealsambennett.com/freedom. That's therealsambennett.com/freedom. And there you can opt in, get access to all these recordings and a bunch of fun freebies. We'd love to see you there. In the meantime, remember, the world needs your good work. Thanks, everybody.